I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story.
Now, today, there are some new restrictions that I need to announce. Masks and face coverings will, from 11:59pm Wednesday night, be mandatory.
As of midnight last night, the wearing of masks in and around the city of Melbourne is mandatory.
If you are out of your home for one of the four permitted reasons, then you need to be wearing a mask, and I stress, or a face covering.
With $200 fines for those found not wearing them outside their home. This is a first for Australia.
We are going to be wearing masks in Victoria and potentially in other parts of the country for a very long time. There's no vaccine to this wildly infectious virus.
The enforced wearing of masks has been legislated in multiple countries around the world, particularly in the past few weeks.
We've therefore come to the decision that face coverings should be mandatory in shops and supermarkets.
Across France, wearing masks is now compulsory in shops and other public spaces.
So why are the rules around masks changing? And what have we learned about their effectiveness against COVID-19? Today, the evolving science around the importance of masks in the COVID-19 pandemic. It's Thursday, the 23rd of July. So, Graeme, it seems like from early on in the pandemic to now, the advice on masks has changed quite a bit, not just in Australia, but all around the world. Can you just step us through those changes?
So the World Health Organization, they issued advice in early April.
Graeme Redfern is a reporter for Guardian Australia.
And it's well known that the masks are really important for healthcare workers.
First and foremost, medical masks must be prioritised for health workers on the front lines of the response.
But much less was known about the general public.
WHO only recommends the use of masks in specific cases.
And the World Health Organization initially said,
if you do not have these symptoms, you do not have to wear masks because there is no evidence that they protect people who are not sick.
There's just not enough evidence to show that masks amongst the general public are going to really have any effect at all.
When did that change? How did that change?
Well, of course, we've seen this flood of scientific research ever since the pandemic started on all sorts of different aspects of the virus. Around the 5th of June, the World Health Organization,
WHO, is publishing updated guidance on the use of masks.
Changed its advice
for control of COVID-19.
So what is that advice that they changed?
Here is what's new.
So the WHO decided then that its new guidance advised that
in light of evolving evidence, WHO advises that governments should encourage the general public to wear masks where there is widespread transmission and physical distancing is difficult.
They did have some specific situations in which they thought that advice made sense.
Such as on public transport, in shops, or in other confined or crowded environments.
Now, that advice actually came only a few days after a major article was published in The Lancet, this medical journal.
So what did this Lancet study say?
There's been lots of studies that have been done since the pandemic started around how the virus gets transmitted. And when it comes to masks, I think probably the most relevant things are the way that the virus gets transmitted through droplets, sort of people breathing in and out, shouting, coughing, sneezing, and then also the ways that different measures interact with each other, so physical distancing and maybe face masks. All of that research has been done bit by bit, a little bit here, a little bit there, but nobody really brought it together until this Lancet piece. The Lancet's this major medical journal. They looked really closely at the results of 172 different studies, and they concluded this, and I'll quote from it. For the general public, evidence shows that physical distancing of more than a meter is highly effective and that face masks are associated with protection even in non-healthcare settings. They went on, they said that this includes either disposable surgical masks or reusable cotton masks. But even then, they sort of loaded that with the caveat that most of the studies had been done in households or among the contacts of cases. But you can see how they start to sort of build the evidence, and you get to this tipping point where it seems that if you're a public health authority, there seems now at this point with the Lancet article to be sort of sufficient evidence to tip you into advocating that people should be wearing masks if they're out in the community.
Was this Lancet article the trigger for these changes?
Well, the circumstances are that 4 or 5 days later, the WHO updates its advice. That may be a coincidence. But again, the people that I've spoke to, one of the epidemiologists at a university in Melbourne, for example, said that the Lancet article was really important because it brought together all of the evidence that was there to date and came to a firm conclusion. That said, there are other experts that say that the usefulness of masks and the evidence for it existed even well before the pandemic, because it's not like we don't have pathogens in the air and we've never thought of using masks to protect ourselves from those before. So that research has been going on for years. And again, some of the people I've spoke to said, well, we already knew that masks worked, so there's no reason why the masks wouldn't help to reduce either your exposure to these sort of airborne droplets or the ability for you to spread them.
Okay, so this Lancet article really seems to mark a moment where consensus is being formed around masks. But as you say, there was a lot of research that came out in the lead up to that. What are some of the most important things that we've learned from that research that prove that masks might be a good idea?
I guess it's how the virus gets spread. There's evidence that as well as the folk that are coughing and spluttering everywhere and spraying, you know, in that cough and splutter, there's those droplets, we call them respiratory droplets that are infectious. You've got all that and they're infecting the space around them as well. But you've also got some evidence that even people who are not showing any symptoms, either because the virus hasn't developed yet or they've got the virus and they never will have symptoms, that even those people can be shedding a little bit of the virus in their breathing and talking. So you have all this evidence floating around as well. And if you don't think you've got the disease, so you don't wear a mask, and then you're out in the community and you're breathing on people and talking to people, and actually you may be helping to spread the disease, then that's not a good thing when you're trying to control an outbreak.
And in the reverse, if you're there and you're wearing a mask, you're less likely to pick it up from those people.
Yeah, if you're in the pub and that person walks in, then you've got less chance of breathing in whatever they're breathing out. And if you're the person walking in with the virus, then you're not spreading it.
Next, how the world has reacted to this new advice on masks. Okay, so the WHO issues this advice, which really broadens the times and places where people should be wearing masks, the advice around that. What does Australia do?
So back in April and then again in July, the Australian government's advice was roughly the same. You know, wearing masks for the general public, not generally recommended.
But on the wearing of masks, the medical expert panel, we accepted their advice that it is not recommended, that they are necessary to be worn.
Unless, and this was a really important unless, you were in a place where community transmission was occurring. And then they might work. And of course, that's been the big change for Melbourne and Mitchell Shire in the state of Victoria. They now have this community transmission. So that's another box ticked in whether you should be advocating for wearing masks.
Together, we fully and completely support this difficult decision for the mandatory wearing of masks. It is a function of the level of community transmission in the Melbourne region and surrounding areas.
So as of midnight last night, these new laws come in Victoria, in metropolitan Melbourne and Mitchell Shire. If you're outside of your home, you should be wearing a mask. And if you're not wearing a mask, you could be standing for a $200 fine.
Okay, so right now in Melbourne, this mask wearing is the only place where it is mandatory, and they'll be issuing fines to enforce that policy. Is that the right way to go? How are other countries dealing with this and enforcing their policies?
The Guardian has reported that, for example, in France this week, people are risking a fine of about $150 if they don't comply with this new rule to wear a mask in indoor places that are public. Hong Kong's toughened their rules. But then you've got places like Singapore, Belgium, they've been offering free face masks, and they've been doing that for a while. But as well, you know, they've got fines for non-compliance. So there's lots of different approaches. And actually, in the World Health Organization guidance, they leave a lot of those decisions open to individual authorities and government, state governments and countries.
It seems like despite, you know, mounting evidence around this, there is a big pushback in many places around the world against masks. It's become a part of a culture war.
The latest front line in America's relentless culture war.
Are you going to allow the government to tell you have to wear a mask?
Hell, I would rather die than to live the rest of my life in fear and wearing a damn mask.
I do think people are going, you got to be kidding me. If I'm just going for a walk around the block, why on earth do I need to wear a mask if I'm on my own? I mean, it does seem slightly extreme.
What would you say to people who don't want to listen to this evidence?
I think that it's definitely worth saying that we're never going to get, and we shouldn't expect to get, to a definitive point where somebody can put a precise number on the effect that masks will have. But just because you don't have a precise number or a definitive answer, that doesn't mean that you then throw the baby out with the bathwater, as people say.
Can I just say this? You know, there's been a lot of commentary, a whole lot of people who don't necessarily think that this virus is real or think it's somehow a fundamental attack on people's human rights.
You know, there does now seem to be a sufficient amount of evidence that the masks work.
So I just remind every Victorian that nurses and doctors wear masks when they're treating you. And I don't think it's too much to ask Victorians to wear a mask so that they don't finish up in hospital or contribute to somebody else finishing up in hospital.
And if people are saying there's no evidence that masks can help slow the spread of the virus, then they haven't been reading any of the literature.
Okay, so it seems like there is a lot of momentum worldwide. Some countries have moved faster than others. But is there a chance that this push towards masks could have some downsides that will lull people into this false sense of security? You know, I'm wearing a mask, therefore I don't need to be as stringent with other measures.
Yeah, some of the experts are actually really worried about that. They're concerned that with all the talk of masks, people might either think that the mask is giving them more protection than it actually is, or they might forget that they still need to do all those things that have been drilled into us now for months. You know, washing our hands, coughing or sneezing into our elbows, and keeping our physical distance, our 1.5 metre as it's been communicated to us constantly in Australia. So yes, there's concern that on goes the mask, and then people forget about the other things. And I mean, really, people should not forget about those other things.
So really, do everything that we've been told to do all along. But if you're in an area with community transmission, you should probably add a mask.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, Graham, thanks so much.
Thanks, Laura.
Do you want to put in Jack Black somehow? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea how we would work that into this structure.
It's time to be a hero. A hero with a mask. Not this kind, this kind.
He put out this amazing video on his social media of him in his natural Libra superhero outfit and for some inexplicable reason diving into a swimming pool in a Superman pose.
Be a hero. Wear a mask.
But there it is. People are on board, even Jack Black.
I love that you rolled with that. We may not, most likely won't use that. We'll see. That's it for today. Thanks to Graham Redfern for his time. You can read his work at theguardian.com, and we've put some links to the latest reporting on masks on the Full Story page. This episode was produced by Ellen Lee Beater and Joe Koning. Our executive producers are Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.